Life Audio.
Golly, that is absolute fire. Her vocals right there are crazy. Just the power, the authenticity, everything behind that, the conviction behind it is incredible.
Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.
Do you believe in life after addiction? You better believe it. Now, the host of Life After Addiction.
Yeah, baby, baby.
We're back.
We're back in the saddle.
Episode 120?
I don't know. It might be 119, 120. I don't know if that.
120.
Next episode might, or the one that we, I don't know. I think this one needs to come out this week. Anyways, we don't know what episode number it is because we're going to decide that. But today are in for a treat. There is a song, a clip of a song that is, it's really kind of making waves on YouTube, on Instagram, on TikTok, on all these things. And the song's called Drunk Again by Maria Rose and Songhouse. We're gonna do a reaction video. So if you've seen the clip, it's probably you just seen a 25, 30-second clip of it, and they're live in studio. Well, that became a whole video and song. It just resonated with us, with me, and I thought it would be cool. You haven't seen it all. I have, but I think it's going to be cool.
Yeah, I've seen the clip. So Adam sent me this clip. If you haven't seen this clip, like you said, it's Maria Rose with Songhouse. It's called Drunk Again. There's a studio clip that you can see, or a YouTube short that you can see of her in the studio. It is absolutely fire.
Yeah.
And we wish there was like the full version of this studio version, but we can't find it. So this is the recorded studio music video.
Yeah, and actually the what I heard was the watching some other stuff from Songhouse was the first verse is that studio, the audio that they put into the actual song is that studio version. So it was pretty cool. What else? Man, new people join in. Romy, we called you out in another video, but if this one drops first, thank you so much. Join the channel. It really helps. Sows a seed. You want to just dive in?
Yeah, let's dive in.
Drunk Again, Maria Rose, Songhouse. Oh, wait, pause it. Could be trigger warnings. If seeing alcohol, someone drink alcohol, things like that is going to cause you to stumble, man, turn the video off and just listen. Maybe go to the audio version on Spotify of this episode and listen, but just wanted to kind of warn you guys.
Oh, I didn't ask for the scars that I've been given. That's the price you pay for someone else's sinning. The preacher said that I'll find a reason. Don't have the heart to tell him I don't believe him. Oh, I don't believe it.
Wow, that's a pretty interesting opening.
Yeah.
So the scars from someone else's sinning. I think that's probably someone abuse. So it could be abuse. And I don't even know if this is Maria's story. I know that she's singing, and I know that Songhouse helped write it and stuff like that, but it's someone's story,
right?
And I'm assuming inside of that that means abuse from someone else. Our producer Carlos also said it could be someone's talking about like generational of addiction or alcoholism or something like that. You know, any thoughts on that?
Yeah, she said, I didn't ask for the scars that I've been given, but that's the price you pay from someone else's sinning. So, I mean, I'm in the same vein as y'all. It could be like generational addiction. It could be physical abuse, could be sexual abuse, something along those lines. Her voice is incredible, though.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Yeah. And then I think, man, just from what we do, I've worked in the addiction recovery space, served in the addiction recovery space. This is not my chosen occupation, for over a decade, over 12 years now. And man, the things that we've seen that have happened to people, that have caused them to turn to numb it with alcohol, numb it with drugs, man, it's unspeakable. And, a lot of times it's done by the people that are supposed to love them and protect them. And, shield them from the wickedness is the very people that have perpetrated innocence and have been causing the wickedness. And so, man, that is heavy. And I don't make light of that. I've it's something that no person should ever have to experience or hear about. And I don't know what she said about the preacher said that, what'd she say?
The preacher told me that I'd find a reason. I don't have the heart to tell him. I don't believe.
Yeah. And I don't know if that's biblically accurate. And so if someone's told you that you're going to find the reason that this happened, God's going to show you why this happened. I don't know that to be true. Biblically, Moses never made it to the promised land.
Yeah.
We don't always get to see fruit. The Bible says that we're to be faithful and obedient, and not that we're ever going to know. Now, if the preacher was talking about something like, all things work for the good of those who love God and call it according to his purpose. Yeah, that doesn't mean what happened here was good. It means that all things work for the good. And it's not saying that, oh, this happened because you're going to meet this person. You're going to be able to minister to this person. You might not ever know until you meet God in glory. But I definitely think, and let me find this. You keep going. There's a scripture in Genesis that I wanted to read.
As far as that goes, yeah, I would be in the same vein as Adam, as far as I don't think that we'll ever know certain things that happen to us and why they happen to us. But just to reiterate, yeah, that God works all things for the greater good of those who are called according to his purposes. And you don't have to know the why when you know the who. It's something I really like to stand on. It's like, man, God is faithful. God is good. His character, that is just who he is. And so although awful things happen to us on this side of heaven, I don't have to always know the why when I know the who. Now, it doesn't dismiss the, feelings that you may have and the abuse that takes place or just the wrongdoings or the evil that is present in this world. It doesn't dismiss those things, but God is good. And that's sometimes just what we have to take heart in. And it takes faith, and it requires faith to, see the good even in the worst of circumstances.
Yeah, and to expect, man, some of the heinous things that we've seen happen to people, to expect to say to them, hey, you'll figure out why that happened. You'll know why that happened. I mean, that's hard. That's a hard pill to swallow, and I don't know that that's accurate. I will, and I'm confident in saying, hey, I don't know why that happened to you, man. Mm. But gosh, God's saying, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden. I'll give you rest for your soul. I know that to be true, and I feel that. I feel confident in saying that.
Yeah.
I'm going to come back to the Genesis. Keep going.
Oh, I don't believe in him. Some call it a habit. Some call it.
Golly, that is absolute fire. Her vocals right
there. Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-497-4410. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-497-4410. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-497-4410.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
They are crazy. Just the power, the authenticity, everything behind that, the conviction behind it is incredible. So it says some call it a habit, some call it a sin. What does it say after that? Some call it a habit, some call it a sin.
Oh, man. I don't know, but that's
some call it a pattern. I don't know
where this ends.
Where this ends. They call me a daughter, but I don't believe them. Baptized in the water, but don't feel any different. All I know, it's a sign. So I lift up my hands, worshiping Jesus, but I'm drunk again.
But I'm drunk again.
Gosh, she kills that. And yeah, I mean, I can relate to this on such a deep level, because I did not know the Lord prior to coming to S2L. So some would call it a habit. Some would call it a disease. Some would call it a sin. You know, some would say I would never find my way out of it. And so you're getting all these differing opinions, and it leaves you in this place of like, okay, I don't really know where to go. I don't know where to turn. But I love how she says at the end, I'm worshiping Jesus. Obviously, the I'm drunk again part. But if you've ever battled with addiction, man, you would understand that, because there was a time in my life. I came to S2L in 2017, and I 100% found the Lord. I encountered God. I gave my life to Jesus. I accepted him into my heart as Savior and Lord. And it wasn't but a few months after that where I continued to find myself back in an addiction. And now there's sanctification that needs to happen, the process of becoming more Christ-like. There is spiritual maturity that needs to happen. There is a level of relentless pursuit that is required. There's a level of relinquishing control. There's so many things tied into your spiritual walk and growing in your relationship with the Lord that it's not just this magic potion that when I confess Jesus as Lord and Savior of my life, I therefore am absolutely never going to struggle again in my life, and the strongholds that were once there are completely broken. Can the Lord do that, and does he do that? Absolutely.
Sure.
Is that more so?
That's the exception,
the exception, not the rule. I would say absolutely yes. And so while I went back and I struggled with the same things I did, I had a conviction that I never had in my entire life that drew me back to the foot of the cross and reminded me of my identity in Christ, reminded me of who God said I was, reminded me of who God was, reminded me that Jesus paid the ultimate cost for the sacrifice and atonement of my sins, and that I was forgiven for these sins, past, present, and future. And so that gave me a hope that I never had before, which then led to a pursuit that I never had before. But to say just because someone gives their life to the Lord that they'll never struggle on this side of heaven with any of these strongholds ever again, that's just not necessarily true. Now, I'm not allocating for it and condoning like, oh, well, if I would have just lived that life for the rest of my life, it would have been okay because grace is sufficient. I'm not saying that.
Right.
Paul says, therefore, should we continue in sin? He says, by no means, certainly not should we do that.
By no means.
So don't mishear me on that. But I can understand where she's coming from. It's like, Lord, I love you. I know you're real. I've accepted you as Savior of my life, but I find myself drunk again, struggling with these same demons.
Worshiping Jesus.
I know. Like, and that's, you could hear the genuine worship in her voice behind that.
But I'm drunk again.
Yeah.
Man, there's so many parts to that I want to talk about, but I think I'll keep going. But the one thing I will say at this point, yeah, just some call it a pattern, some call it a sin, some call it a whatever. Yeah, man, I think biblically for those, if you're watching this, and if you're coming here because you wanted to hear the song, you don't know anything about us, he said S2L, it's a Christian Christ-centered addiction recovery residential facility for men in Middle Tennessee. Yeah, and so that's what we're talking about. But when I think a part of the whole addiction thing, if you've been to rehab in the secular world, if you've gone to rehab, what you've been taught is that this is a disease, and that you'll always have it, and that, in fact, to go to their meetings and stuff like that, you got to identify with it. Hello, my name is Adam, and I'm an addict. Yeah. Hello, my name is Ryan. I'm an alcoholic. Man, we just radically believe that that's different than the truth. That message, we believe, is from the pits of hell. According to the Word of God and our own testimonies, man, we who the Son sets free is free indeed. We can break free from that. Not that there's not going to be a struggle. Not that you're not, you know, going to have issues. But man, I identify it as, you know, something that I did, not who I am.
Correct.
And then when she says, "So call me a daughter," and I don't believe them, man. Mm. Let's keep going. Like, can we hear the chorus again and go all the way through to the next verse? But I want to talk about calling me a daughter, not believing them, and then some other things about what to do. But I got to hear that verse one more time, man.
This might end up being a 45-minute video.
Some call it a habit. Some call it.
Talk
tell
about
myself
that again.
I'm a little too hard to save.
Too hard
tired
to save.
Of waking up in my own grave. Bottles and Bibles next to my bed. Chasing the demons out of my head.
Chasing the demons out of my head. So, man, there's a lot there, too. Some say I'm hard to save. I can't see it. I had the worst vision. Tell myself I'm a little too hard to save, tired of waking up in my own grave, bottles and Bibles next to my bed. Man, I relate to that waking up in my own grave every morning, waking up almost wishing that you didn't, you know?
Yeah.
Or going to sleep, not caring if you wake up.
Yeah.
I've had those times, man. But there's this overwhelming lie of the enemy and our own self-worth that I just hear and I see so often in doing this for so long. And I felt when I was going through this, the shame that's coming at this story, this person, whether it's Maria or whoever wrote it, or maybe a multiple people coming together with a story. But it's like, I'm not where I keep doing this. And so I'm too hard to save. The chorus, to say I'm a daughter, I don't believe them. And then there's just this fight. There's Bibles next to the bottles, and I wake up, and I don't want to do this. That's what I hear.
Yeah.
I don't want to do this, and it defines me, and there's so much shame, there's so much guilt that she doesn't even – the promises of God are not true to her.
Mm-hmm.
Not because the promises of God are not true, but because, man, she feels – and I mean, I say she – I've reached out. Maybe we'll get her on to talk about it. So yeah. I'm not saying this person, but what I feel from this, it's like – I'm not worthy of salvation. I'm too hard to save. Don't call me a son. I'm not a son. I'm not worthy of that, man. Look at what I do. I believe, but man, I keep turning to this idol, this bottle, to numb the pain, the scars of my past, the things that I've done, the things that have been done to me. And man, I just feel that. I feel that all over the place.
Yes, that feeling of unworthiness,
yeah,
like,
man.
That feeling of being too far gone and being unlovable, and how could God love me knowing the things that I'm struggling with? How could he ever call me a daughter? You know, I love the part, we'll go back to the chorus, it says, you don't have to go back, I'm just saying, they call me a daughter, but I don't believe them, baptized in the water, don't feel any different. And that's just powerful right there, because baptism,
it's real talk, man,
is just symbolic.
Yeah.
It's not like when you get baptized, that water is a magical potion, and once you come out of that water, you know, you're magically healed in a moment. No, it's a public declaration that, hey, I am choosing to follow Jesus for the rest of my life. And so even in that sense, it's relatable, because I think we can, as humans, see baptism as like this emotional, and don't get me wrong, can it be emotional? Yes. But like, we want to feel the emotions behind it. That's like, man, I just feel this supernatural power and I'm changed forever and I'm never going to be the same. Now, it's awesome to desire those things, but to think that, like, just because you get dunked under a body of water and come back up, that everything has changed in an instant, I think that would be very naive in and of itself as well.
Yeah, man. And yeah, I want to touch on this here. Let me start here. If you're listening to this and you are... this is you, and you keep turning to it. You keep turning to it. You hate it, whether it be alcohol or whatever. I think the first step is that there is something in the Bible that says that we do not battle against flesh and blood, but against spiritual things, 100%. But when it comes to drinking, when it comes to taking pills or whatever it may be, your addiction may be, there is a physical element to this. You need to get help. You need to get the medically safe. You need to have the treatment done. I would say use a Christ-centered place. We have, if you're a male, we have a detox, medical detox, but all of our staff are going to have the worldview that you are made in the image of God and the Imago Dei. And so we're treating people that way. But if you don't, because alcohol withdrawal, man, it could kill you.
Yeah.
Benzo withdrawal, man, it can kill you. The seizures and things like that. Opiate withdrawal, you'll wish you were dead. Mm-hmm. And so you need to go and get the help, the learn some tools to be able to not take it medically, make sure you're cleared. Because, man, once you do that, man, and the hope is for me and my story, man, not only things that had been done to me, but I felt the weight of my own sin, and it crushed me, and it led me to the Lord. And what I found out was, man, I'm not worthy.
Mm.
All of those feelings, all of those things that I had had, and the shame and guilt, and it was just like, duh, you're not worthy. And then the image of the cross of Christ came in. I couldn't do it. I was a fraud, but he can. And like, God actually loves me. He died for me. He sees me as a son. And like, oh man, when you start to see God in this way, and that the beauty of the cross, and all of the shame I was feeling has been paid for. All of this stuff that I was icky about. It's not saying it's not true. I did do those things. But man, Christ literally died for those things. Mm. Like on the cross, it says in the word, it says, he who knew no sin became sin so that we might become the righteousness. He became my sin. Mm. He suffered. It wasn't just the pain of the cross, man. Like when I got this, and it was very painful. The word excruciating came from crucifixion. But it wasn't that pain that was the issue with Jesus that I'm just like, I'm melted for, and like it crushed me. It was the wrath of God being poured out on him. Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, Jesus says, my God, why have you forsaken me? The wrath of God was poured out on Jesus for the wickedness that I've done. And guess what, man? If we're talking about abuse and stuff like that earlier, just know this, that justice will happen. Justice for your persecutors, for your perpetrator. If something evil is done to you, the wrath of God is waiting for you, for them. And I mean, so much so the Bible talks about the wrath of God. They will beg for rocks to crush their heads, rather face the wrath of God for their injustice. It'll either happen eternally in a real place called hell, or if they surrender to Christ, it happened on the cross. And man, that when you start to hear that freedom, and you start to see that God in that way, man, I'm not worthy, but he loves me anyway.
Mm-hmm.
He gave me a route to be worthy. It changed everything for me, man.
Mm. Yeah, every lyric in this song has hit.
And, I know, man.
And been so relatable on every level. Keep going.
Down in my head. Some call it a habit. Some call it a sin. Some call it a pattern. I don't know what this is. They call me a daughter, but I don't believe it. I'm lost in the water. Don't feel any different. All I know is a son. So I lift up my head. For my heart,
gosh,
oh, a heart. I'm looking for my heart. I'm looking for my.
Just
Shout out Maria Rose. She is a monster. Like, every single lyric on that song is extremely relatable on every single level. That's crazy.
Man.
I know. It's like, it's so hard to follow up that chorus. What I will say, to go back to what I discussed about how it's not just magic when you give your life to the Lord, I will also say, through sanctification, through growing in your relationship with the Lord, there is absolutely a place in Christ that you can get to where you no longer struggle with drugs or alcohol ever again in your life. What I was relating to is that season that she's describing, whether it's her or just the story of the person she's writing this about, there is a real season where there's a lot of friction. And you may have given your life to the Lord, but you still find yourself struggling with the same things. What I would say is stay in the fight. Like Adam said, get you some help.
Yeah.
But God's word is true. I just wanted to read Romans 6, verse 12 and 13. So understand that we are dead to sin and alive in Christ. And we are no longer slaves to sin, but we become slaves to righteousness once we have given our lives to Christ. But Romans 6, 12 and 13 says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions.
Yeah.
Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as an instrument for righteousness. I think that is so encouraging. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies. Why?
Yeah.
Well, because it will make you obey its passions. You know, I always used to get to this place of convincing myself, I just wanted to smoke weed, or I just wanted to drink on weekends, or I just wanted to take a pill on occasion. Man, God can change the desires of your heart so much so to where I don't even desire to do those things anymore. It's not this legalistic type, like, man, mechanical, oh, I can't do this because if I do, everything looks bad. It's the fact that I genuinely don't want to do these things anymore, and that's what Christ does. It's heart transformation, not behavioral modification. Christ pulls these things out from the root, and he takes these sinful desires and replaces them with things that are good and things that are of him. And so that's the difference between freedom in Christ and just a mere sobriety of just like not doing these things because of what it's going to lead to.
Yeah. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and behold, the new has come. And next time the enemy whispers in your ear that you're a fraud, the shame and the guilt of your own flesh saying that I shouldn't have done this, just remind the enemy that he's right. You are a fraud. And then praise God for the cross of Christ. The scripture in Genesis, man, if you're someone that has been sinned against, if you are someone that evil has happened to you by someone, I want to read this to you, and the context of this is Genesis chapter 50. It's Joseph, and he's talking to his brothers. If you know the story, go read the story of Joseph in the book of Genesis. But his brothers were very jealous of him, sold him into slavery, which put him in a prison, which just a crazy life. And here's what he said to us in verse 20. It says, as for you, speaking to his brothers, as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. Yeah. The story of Joseph, he ends up being the number two man in Egypt and having really using the grain and because there is a drought. But I don't know what the enemy meant for evil, God can use for good. Doesn't mean that what happened to you was good. And I don't know if you'll ever know fully why God allowed that to happen. But the Bible, the promises of God are true. Those who love God and are called according to his purposes, this could be good. This could work for the good. Doesn't mean it's good, but whatever it is, kick the devil in the teeth. Get help today. Start to understand that it's not about you and your works, that you are worthy, that you can be called a son or daughter, not because of what you do, but because of what he did. That's how much, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. I don't know, man. That hit me. I'm not speechless often, and I've seen this before, but it hit me in a way that's
so
like,
powerful. It's so powerful. Once again, shout out Songhouse. Shout out Maria Rose. I went and watched some of those Songhouse videos. Yeah. So Carlos was saying, like, they give them, they present a topic, if I'm not wrong.
Yeah, they have,
and
like
then they
camps.
Have like 30 minutes to write a chorus to that topic.
Yeah. I don't know if that's what this song was. Yeah, but Songhouse, man. Go check Songhouse out on Instagram. Check out Maria Rose on Instagram. But Songhouse has like camps that they do. Right. I think they're here in Middle Tennessee, and people come in, and so they just push songwriters and people to get better. So they're like, hey, you have 30 minutes to create a hook or a chorus, and then they have to sing it and play it in front of everybody. It's pretty. It seems pretty cool.
Their videos are awesome. Yeah, but yeah, this one, I don't. This right here is just, this is the one.
Yeah,
this is the one. So present yourselves to God as instruments for righteousness. There is hope. If you are struggling with addiction, there is absolute hope. Get you some help. Reach out to a loved one. Call a program in your area, preferably a Christ-centered recovery program.
Yeah.
But shout out Songhouse. Shout out Maria Rose.
That's it. That's Life After Addiction. You better believe it.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Life After Addiction. Life After Addiction is a production of S2L Studio. For more Christ-centered addiction recovery resources, please visit S2L.net. That's S2L.net. For more information about S2L's licensed and accredited residential program, please visit S2LRecovery.org. That's S2LRecovery.org.
We want to take just a second to thank the team at Life Audio for their partnership with us on the Life After Addiction podcast. If you go to lifeaudio.com, you'll find dozens of their faith-centered podcasts and their network. They've got shows about prayer, Bible study, parenting, and much more. Thank you so much for listening today, and God bless.
A powerful prayer life does not require hiking a mountain to be able to hear from God. God can meet us right in the middle of our busy lives to help, guide, and speak to us through prayer. I'm Christina Patterson, host of the Teach Us to Pray podcast, providing practical teaching and encouragement on how you can make prayer a natural and consistent part of your everyday life. I promise it won't require hiking a mountain, but you just might develop the faith to move one. Listen and subscribe at lifeaudio.com.